We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Make this holiday season with the family an interactive one at the Tech Interactive in the heart of downtown San Jose, next to Christmas in the Park. Spend hours exploring fun exhibits together. Build and program your own robot. Design and ride a roller coaster. Engineer and test your own launching device and more. Immerse yourself in exciting new worlds in the largest IMAX dome screen in the West. Get tickets now at thetech.org. That's thetech.org. The Tech Interactive, where science meets fun for everyone.
Hey, this is Stephen A. Smith from No Mercy. Festivals, football, flannels. Some say fall is their favorite time of year. And this fall, there are now updated COVID-19 booster shots designed to help protect against COVID-19 variants. If you've had your primary series, schedule an updated COVID-19 booster shot appointment as soon as you're eligible. And don't forget to enjoy the foliage, sponsored by Pfizer and BioNTech.
Hey, this is Kenny Mayne, host of something called Hey Mayne. That's a podcast. We're working busily on season two, but let's not forget about season one. Remember Jemele Hill? Is the cookout ever going to happen, or is it just metaphorical?
It is largely metaphorical. Just know we would feel very comfortable inviting you. Potato salad, by the way, I feel like I should tell your listeners, does not have raisins in it.
If you missed that episode of Hey Mayne, check it out on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
First and Pod, hosted by Danny Parkin and Andrew Filippone.
Welcome to another edition of First and Pod. Danny Parkin, Andrew Filippone. Every game, every week, every team. Coming to you live from after Chiefs and Chargers. Probably the best game of the day. Pat Mahomes remains undefeated in road division games, which is just insane. Travis Kelce, his last three catches of the games, all go for touchdowns, the greatest tight end to ever do it. He's making that run at Gronk. And if the Chiefs would have lost this game, Pony, there would have been five teams in the AFC at 7-3, but they remain a game up on the rest of the pack. Pretty incredible performance by the Chiefs in the second half today.
Yeah, when we missed you earlier in the week, we were talking about Kansas City, Danny. And I had mentioned to Zach Gelb, who was filling in for you, that you get desensitized to it. That you either get desensitized to the Chiefs doing stuff like this, or you're just kind of fatigued by it because it happens so often. I think tonight was a little different, though, because it was a higher scoring game and it was kind of tit for tat for a lot of the game. And my biggest takeaway is actually that I feel like for the Chargers, there's going to be a big what if with this team for a very long time, because the NFL, it seems like the two types of teams that win championships are teams that are on rookie deals with quarterbacks, or just teams that are quarterbacked by Tom Brady because he takes less. And they used to circumvent the salary cap and just dump money into TB12 for him in New England.
Yeah, of course.
And right. So with the Chargers, it's like, what is this for Herbert? Year three?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're running out of time and it's not going to happen this year. They're going to have to fight their asses off to even make the playoffs with him this season. All the injuries hit again this year. They get swept by the Kansas City again, and they could have easily swept them. They could have been 2-0 against the Chiefs, and it could have been an entirely different season for both teams. Those are both games went to Kansas City.
Yeah, I mean it's because Mahomes and Andy Reid, you know, we look for reasons to pass the baton to Buffalo or to the Chargers preseason. Which you and I both did. Right. Exactly. And here they are. You know, I told you, you made fun of me a couple weeks ago that like I'll just probably never learn and bet the Chargers every year. Like I think Herbert just passes every eye test like so unbelievably that I think that he is the type of guy that can win when he gets paid on that type of contract. It's going to be real tough with Pat Mahomes in the division, who's, as I mentioned, 14-0 in road division games to start his career. It's absolutely remarkable. The Chargers, man, all these injuries, like Mike Williams has the amazing catch on the sideline, comes down, re-aggravates the ankle injury, isn't able to do it. Keenan Allen comes back from the hamstring, has the fumble, comes back, makes the great catch down the field, but like they still don't have Rashawn Slater. Like they just can't get all of their guys there. But just a minute of Travis Kelce appreciation. He's doing that. I know Derwin James had his moments on him, but like it's the best safety in football.
Yeah.
And he is just like, for the whole game, they're like, oh, well, you know, he had three catches, no big deal. Finishes the game with six catches, three touchdowns, 100 plus yards. He is unbelievable. The guy's what, 32? 33? Like, he's going to go down as having one of the longest primes of a tight end ever.
Well, Tony Gonzalez said the same thing. He just, you know, Kansas City moved on and he did some of it in Atlanta at the tail end of his career. But it's interesting that both Kansas City tight ends, Hall of Fame tight ends, were guys that even thrived late in their careers.
And Tony G was like the catches, but this is the touchdown numbers are just crazy. Yep. He is so incredible. And we talked so much about Tyreek Hill, but it's like Andy Reid, Pat Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and they make the rest of it work. They are a deserving favorite right now with now four teams in the AFC at 7-3, and we'll of course get to them over the course of the show as I drop my phone here. Here we go. It's good to be back, midseason form. All right, Dallas, Minnesota. It was the game of the day. I heard you on FanDuel TV. Pick Minnesota.
Yep.
Nice pick.
Yeah. Nice pick.
Here's the truth. I actually convinced our buddy Nick Wright in our picks contest to pick Minnesota too, even though in the group of my buddies, when we have got the Circa Million entry, we had the Cowboys. So I didn't have a lot of conviction on this game, but you seemed to. What went wrong?
Everything. It was a Murphy's Law game. If you're a Minnesota backer, I guess they were due. That was why there was a lot of smart people that backed Dallas, because they thought Minnesota was due for one of these games. I don't know if they expected it to be the second worst home loss in franchise history, and actually, by margin of victory, the greatest Cowboys road win of all time in the entire history of the franchise. They did that today. You know, sort of like what I said about the Chargers, Danny, don't you think there's going to be some of that about Tony Pollard? Like, he was the star player for Dallas today, and they found a way to make both he and Zeke work. Zeke finished drives. Pollard did it with his on the ground and as a receiver. Just huge plays. And it's like, I just wonder, like, if they had gone to him and made him their feature back from the start of the year, I think what, an extra win at least?
And you could even go back further. If they would have decided not to pay Zeke, you know, what happens with that cap money? Where do they spend it? Where else are they better? Pollard is clearly more dynamic. The workload thing I do think matters, you know, that crazy stat from a couple of weeks ago with never having more than 14 carries in a game, but he's clearly more dynamic, and the run after the catch and the burst is just obvious. Minnesota has been fraudulent, man. To be 8-2 and have a negative point differential, is crazy 10 games into the season. Are we sure that Dallas isn't the best team in the NFC? They're an 8.5-point favorite over the also 7-3 Giants on Thanksgiving. 8.5 points in a division game of 7-3 teams. That's crazy.
Well, they were the highest scoring team in the NFL last year to go along with Micah Parsons. And you know, there was better talent at the top of the NFC last year with the Packers and Bucks. So really what's happened, in my opinion, is that they've pretty much stayed the same. And the top teams around them, like the Rams, Bucks, and Packers, have gotten worse. So, you know, it's really going to come down to that age-old thing of, like, you know, once we get to January, does the pressure of those games, does it impact a team that we don't really take their head coach seriously? And their quarterback really hasn't gotten it done outside of, like, the wild card round. You know, I mean, that's just...
Yeah, their defense, the first... It was the first eight games, right? They or the first for seven games averaged 15 points per game allowed.
And then it shot then, way up, and they were bad against the run, really bad against the run.
Yeah, then the Bears and the Packers lit them up. And then back again today against Minnesota, they only allowed 3 points. It's crazy, man, to watch a game that has a $160 million quarterback in Prescott, Justin Jefferson, one of the three.
He had three catches.
For offensive player of the year, Dalvin Cook, all that talent on that field. Micah Parsons is just clearly the best football player on the field. He is insane.
Parsons and Pollard were their two best players. And probably
neutral field. Philly, Dallas. Dallas favored.
Right now, I would say yes.
I would too.
What was that line when Cooper Rush started in Philly? 6.5? That sound right? Was it?
I think
four?
So. When do they? So it's they get them Christmas Eve. So we've still got some time, but yeah, right now I think Dallas neutral field. I would take them against any team, in the NFC. Buffalo and Cleveland. Do you look at that as a game that the Browns blew, that they blew that game?
Because of the lead early in the game, you're saying? That's the...
Yeah, I mean, and like a couple inches, you know, two shots to go up 14 to 3, a few inches short, had control of that game early, like... Josh Allen looked so bad. The Bills looked so shaky. You just let them hang around. And then over 60 minutes, the more talented team, because they weren't as dug into as deep of a hole as it clearly should have been in the first, you know, quarter plus of that game.
Yeah.
It you know, I know it's a 60-minute game, but it just felt like they had them on the ropes and they couldn't get the knockout blow.
Yeah, I think it's a weird game. Because I think if you're a Bills fan, you're going to try to take positives out of the whole idea that you had such a weird travel weekend with everything that went on, and you still found a way to score more than 30 points. And you did it by running the ball and not just running it with Allen. You got ground production from like Singletary and Cook in this game. And it looked like Stephon Diggs was ready to fight people.
Yeah.
And then right before the half, Allen found Diggs for a touchdown. But you trailed big in the game early. You got off to a bad start, which is a negative. And you also just settled for field goals again in the second half, which is an alarming trend for them. Like, their streak of being basically unable to punch it in consistently in the second half, this is like a month's worth of football. And, like, they didn't play a good team today. You know,
no.
The Browns are just waiting for Deshaun Watson to come back. Like, they've kind of, when adversity hits for them in games, like we saw against Miami last week, they just pack it in now. So if I'm a Bills fan, I'm not getting that excited. And if I don't know, I think if I'm a Browns fan, like I'm past the point of like missed opportunities. they've missed so many opportunities this year. I'd be kind of numb to it if I were a Cleveland fan, and I would write it off to having a backup quarterback at the helm.
Yeah, but he was good. He got whatever he wanted through the air today.
Chubb actually was the guy that did nothing in this game.
Which, yeah, I mean, that bet's falling apart.
I thought of you when I saw his stat line, like, oh, Danny's rushing crown.
Yeah, my 11-1 ticket on him to lead the league in rushing. I mean, Saquon passed him, and he had 14 carries for 19 yards today. I mean, Jacoby Brissett was getting anything he wanted.
Yeah, Cooper had 2 touchdowns.
The Bills' defense was not impressive in any way. I mean, in some ways for Cleveland, you know, you gave up all those draft picks to get to Deshaun Watson, so you may as well win. But then when he comes back and he's practicing now, like, it's a lost season, and then you just get worried. You get worried in Cleveland if Deshaun Watson comes back and doesn't look good. I think that's when Browns fans actually start to worry. But Buffalo is shaky. Still very good. But I mean, first 8 weeks we were talking about them as just the deserved odds-on favorite. They are shaky right now. How much of it do you think is Allen's elbow, by the way?
How about that was just a total non-story where he wasn't even on the injury report all week, and like people had forgotten about it. I thought the same thing as you.
Yeah.
Like, that's just gotten pushed off to the side, and now he's going to have to try to play on a short week against Detroit, which I think, what's the line for that game? Like 10?
Yeah. Well, and Detroit's off 3 straight wins. Yeah. 9.5.
Like it's inflated. That seems like it's way too big.
Yeah.
Based on how Detroit's played.
3 wins in a row for the Lions.
Jets and Patriots. Now, the Patriots sweep the Jets. All 4 teams are still technically in the playoffs, but this is about 3-3 and a punt return with seconds left. There are 3 things I want to say about this game, and then I'll let you respond.
Okay.
Number 1, Wilson is a fucking asshole and is going to get murdered by New York media all week.
Oh, yeah.
For the way he acted after the game, that he had nothing to do with them losing. That's going to get replayed over and over again. The locker room is going to be livid with him. Like, not only did he play like shit, he handled it like a total clown. Number 2, Saleh has got to fire a special teams coordinator for not telling his punter to punt the ball out of bounds. What are you doing in that situation? The punt return man for the Patriots even said after the game that he just assumed that the punt was going to go out of bounds and didn't think he was going to have a chance to return it. And then the 3rd one is, all that being said, they should have fucking called a block in the back at the end of that return.
I'm glad they didn't.
No touchdown, and folks should have had in those windy conditions like a 48-yard field goal attempt with seconds left to win the game. That was a blatant miscall there, though. Very blatant. Block in the back.
I'll start with that one. I'm glad they didn't call it because that guy wasn't going to catch him. It was a block in the back, but he wasn't going to catch him. So,
and I'm going to tell you something. One more. If it's flipped, I guarantee you they call it.
I obviously agree.
If
with
a
that.
Jet guy blasts a Patriots special teams player in that play, they're absolutely 100% calling it. They just assume that Patriots players in that situation are always doing the right thing.
I agree completely. There's already the report out of New York that Zach Wilson is not very popular in the locker room because he was asked the question of, like, did he feel like he let the defense down? And he said no.
Yep.
You scored 3 points, buddy.
And there were countless dropped interceptions like late in that game that could have effed them even more.
Yeah. So the petulance is not going to go over well in New York. Like, I respect swagger. I even respect like swagger that borders on arrogance. Like, I always love the story that, like, Mario Chalmers thought that he deserved to take the last shot on the team that had LeBron and Wade because he had a big one at Kansas. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I do think you need irrational confidence to be an athlete, and I'm sure it'll come in handy for a quarterback of a New York team, but maybe a little bit of self-awareness would be good there. The only thing I have to add to your number of points from the game, because obviously kicking to the returner is idiotic, Patriots just have the best defense in football.
Matthew Judon, baby.
Just again, though.
And we're going to get stuck with them in a wild card game. They're going to make the playoffs.
I know. But so they're just statistically better than Dallas. They're just better than Denver. They're better than San Francisco. Just Bill Belichick. Once again.
I never doubted that about him. I doubted the Patricia Judge thing.
I know.
But yeah.
But I mean, give the guy his props, man.
I know.
It just, there they are. Once again, winners of three straight, plus 44 in the point differential. Have only allowed, let me see, how many teams?
Yeah. Well, they had the bad game against the Bears. And other than that, the last like five or six games, they've been amazing defensively.
So the only teams that have allowed fewer points, Niners and Cowboys. Those are the only two. So the fewest points allowed in the AFC.
Damn.
That's incredible.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.